Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Happy 4th of July, America. And everybody who enjoys liberty around the world, I think you can celebrate the 4th of July. I think Bert Folsom, our guest this half hour, would agree with me on that. Bert is the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, an old friend of ours, and just an outstanding resource for us. And Bert, welcome to the show first.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here, and especially on a special day like this.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to do this day without you, and we thank you for your time. Bert, would you agree with me that really anybody who enjoys liberty or who seeks liberty and freedom and the ability to be self-determined, I think they ought to think that they could celebrate the 4th of July, too, don't you?
I would say so. A successful experiment in breaking away from England that resulted in a Declaration of Independence and later a Constitution that defined and established liberties that have been with us for 225 years, I'd say that's an occasion to celebrate.
Well, and exactly, and Bert, one of the things that you're here for is to give us a little historical perspective about all this, and so I'm just going to let you get started.
Well, that's fine, Jim. One thing that's always interested people is how in a country of 3 or 4 million people, which is about the size of Houston, where I live, could you produce the kind of talent that was produced at that time? You have George Washington, who not only was a remarkable general, but King George said that if he could resist the temptation to grab for absolute power at the end of the war, he would be the greatest man in the world.
Well, what a prophet! What a prophecy that was! Huh?
It was. You have great writers and thinkers like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, but you have really good political people who are very well read, like James Madison, who we had. Benjamin Franklin, one of your favorites, was on the scene.
Well, he was I call him the utility player. You know what I mean? He could do anything.
He could. He was quite adept as a businessman, of course, as a printer, but also, as you know, as an inventor and discoverer of electricity and
right.
such.
And a writer, an outstanding writer?
Outstanding writer. His autobiography is still required and read in many college classrooms today.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that collection of talent that all came together in that one generation. One thing to think about is that in society back in the 1700s, almost everybody who had talent eventually found their way into politics. It was not only a thing that upper-class people did, but it was a thing that ambitious people did. You found your way into the political arena.
Well, it was where the interesting discourses were taking place, too, wasn't it?
Yes, the great philosophical debates.
Mm-hmm. And can I stop you for a second?
Sure, go right ahead.
Another thing about these people that's so great, in my opinion, was that as wonderful as they were together, as incredible as they the things that they created, they disagreed. There were people as opposed to the other as anybody has ever been in the history of mankind, and yet they still forged these documents. And I think that's the right word. I mean, there was a lot of heat and pressure and pain that went on among themselves in discussing these issues, wasn't there?
Well, there sure was. Even on those issues in which they agreed, such as the signing of the Declaration of Independence, they had a large opposition within the new nation. And so to just have to get through that is one thing, but they ultimately, you can even see this in the writing of the Federalist Papers by Hamilton and Madison, which remains one of the most remarkable documents, political documents we have today in the world, that there's this disagreement on how much power the central government ought to have.
Right, right.
And that disagreement ultimately fragmented them and caused them to go after each other quite a bit as well. But even Adams and Jefferson, who went after each other quite a bit, they ended up friends in their old age.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the very end, obviously.
Yeah.
But But there was always that element of competition among them. That really never ended, did it?
No. Hamilton was a very vain and ambitious person. And so it would be impossible for him for very long to get along with Jefferson and Madison. Jefferson and Madison got along very, very well together. Philosophically, they were well-suited. And also, Madison was willing to give Jefferson his senior status. He was 8 years older. Was willing to grant him that you're the leader of our group and go lead us.
Right. And that was important to him. Bert, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We got more to come with our good friend Bert Folsom right after these messages. And we'll have some more of that special music when we come back right after these messages. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our website is www.jbsba.com. I never get tired of that song, Bert Folsom.
Okay. Yeah.
I never get tired of that song, ever. Bert Folsom, ladies and gentlemen, who's with the Center for the American Idea. Bert, it's AmericanIdea.org, is that right?
Yes. American Idea, www.AmericanIdea.org.
All right. And what about, now, Bert, you've been with the American Idea now, the Center for the American Idea, for a couple of 3 years.
For 4 years.
But you're going back to Michigan, aren't you? You're soon to move back into academia.
Right. Here we've been teaching teachers, and we do seminars for teachers to help them in the areas of free enterprise, especially because that's an area where the textbooks and where schools tend not to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hold these seminars for teachers, and that's good, but... hey, I like teaching, too, and Hillsdale College made me an offer, which I gladly accepted, and I'm going back into teaching at Hillsdale College starting this fall in Michigan.
Well, we're looking forward to tracking you down up there, too. We're not going to let you get away from us.
Thank you, Jim.
You can't run away from us, but Hillsdale is an interesting college because it doesn't take any U.S., any federal money, does it?
It takes no federal aid, and it was one of the first colleges in the United States. It was the second, to be precise, to be integrated,
mm-hmm.
and to be gender integrated as well. So they were taking males, females, blacks, and whites before the Civil War.
Right? Is that right?
That's very
interesting. And but in folks, when he talks about not receiving any government money, that includes the scholarship. Some of the federal scholarship money.
What that means, if you come in and are eligible to come into the college with a veterans, say, a VA loan, the college will match with private funding the VA loan.
Wow.
And you will be admitted then with that loan rather than receive any federal funds. So it's totally independent, therefore, of the types of government supervision that prevail in the rest of the college network.
So it's an outstanding example of Independence Day means a lot to that college, doesn't it?
It sure does. Freedom is the biggest part of that college's history, and it still is today.
Well, and Bert, you know, one of the things, as you know, I've written a piece called We Began with Freedom. I talked about it in the last half hour. I trace the entrepreneurs in America's, the American entrepreneurs, freedom to be who we are, back to I trace it all the way back to Henry II, but basically back to the founders and when they decided to sign this Declaration of Independence 227 years ago.
It put into action a lot of the biblical ideas as well as a lot of the secular ideas of freedom developed by, say, John Locke, and mm-hmm. it was something that worked. But we had people who made it work. See, it didn't work when tried elsewhere. Mexico tried the same constitution, the same system, a generation later, and the thing flopped because they didn't have the people committed to liberty mm-hmm. that we had with Washington, Madison, Hamilton, Jefferson, Franklin, and the others.
You know, Bert, I grew up on a farm, as you know, and one of the terms that I learned in animal husbandry is a concept called hybrid vigor.
Yes.
And that's where if you have you know a herd of Angus cattle, you're going to create a certain quality of animal from that herd. But if you introduce another herd, not any better genetically than the other herd, but a different breed like Hereford or Simmental or something like that, if you introduce those animals together and they create offspring from putting those two together, you create a better animal because of the hybrid vigor. And when I look back on America, that's what I think about. I think about hybrid vigor because we're a melting pot like no other example in the history of mankind, aren't we?
Well, that is a good parallel, and we did receive a lot of the talent from other nations because they often would come over as adults. Of course, they'd bring their children, but we had people who were in the vigor of youth who came over, who had received whatever education they had. They weren't necessarily wealthy, but they had enough gumption to move, and then we got them, and mm-hmm. and they did. They produced that hybrid vigor. People like entrepreneurs like Andrew Carnegie were immigrants, mm-hmm. and Oscar Meyer. You go down the list, and the immigrants that we have had in this country. Henry Ford's father was an immigrant, so you get a lot mm-hmm. of people who are offspring of immigrants mm-hmm. who know about the experience. And yes, it produced a remarkable breed of person.
Well, and you've written about those guys. One of your books is called The Myth of the Robber Barons, and the other one is called Empire Builders. And these books are still in print, folks, after being out for a while. So that'll let you know how important they are. And those are available wherever at any of the online bookstores, and they can order them through the regular bookstores, can't they?
That's correct,
yeah.
Jim. Thank
yeah.
you.
Stand by, folks. We're going to be right back. We've got one more segment with our good friend, Bert Folsom. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back. It's 7 till. We're visiting with our good friend Bert Folsom, who is returning to academia. At the end of this month, he's going to be going back to teaching at Hillsdale. Did I say that right, Hillsdale?
Hillsdale.
Hillsdale. I missed the S there. Hillsdale College in northern Michigan. What town is it? Is it near?
It's in the town of Hillsdale, which is a very small town.
Imagine that.
It's in between Detroit and Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Well, you know about that Chicago.
I sure do. I know about that part of the country. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. I'm sure that's... What is that? Hillsdale.edu? Is that the website?
Yes, I think that's it.
Yeah, all right. Bert, we've had 220-something years to analyze and psychoanalyze and dissect and post-mortem all of the guys that who are our founders and the things that they did. And you know what? They weren't perfect. They were great, but they weren't perfect. And we need to realize that they were just human beings creating something that had never been created before. And to that degree, shouldn't we cut them a little slack on some of the things that we now believe they did that wasn't exactly the finest hour?
That's true. They believed the human nature was fallen. And one of the reasons they believed it not only was because of what they saw in each other, but what they saw in themselves. But they were fine people. And they're often criticized. For example, one of the leading textbooks today tend to criticize them for their views on slavery,
mm-hmm.
and understandably so, in a sense, because slavery is such a wicked and awful institution. But the founders actually thought so almost universally, and Washington wished he could have have freed his own slaves. And by the way, he eventually did provide pensions for them, mm-hmm. pensions which were paid until 1833.
Is that right?
34 years after his death, his former slaves, because he freed them, former slaves were receiving pensions. But part of it was their sense of priority. Unlike a lot of people today who get one-issue oriented and they want that above everything, mm-hmm. these folks knew that preserving the Union and establishing it was the most important function that they had. Therefore, on the issue of slavery, which they opposed, they decided we can either have a Union with slavery or we can be fragmented maybe into 13 different countries
mm-hmm.
and get rid of slavery, have at least some of the countries get rid of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided we're only going to be able to make it if we all band together. And so the solution temporarily is going to have to be for slavery. But see, they wrote into the Northwest Ordinance that there could be no slaves in that part of the country. So,
right.
so they're already paving the way through freeing their own slaves.
Mm-hmm.
By not allowing it in certain sections of the country, they are paving the way for future generations to get rid of it.
Well, and it is unfortunate, isn't it, that people seem to take them to task on these on individual areas when their priority was to, as you said, was to unite the country.
Right. And right, and so it's fair to mention that about slavery, and in the context of the times, they did what they could do against it and still bring a country of 13 separate states together under one union.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that deserves a lot of praise, even though it's very sad that it had to endure with slavery, at least for a while.
Bert, imagine a world without July 4th, 1776. Imagine a world without the events of that date.
Well, I think it would be very different because you have the French Revolution coming in on the heels of the mm-hmm. American Revolution. It was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
We had massive executions.
No hybrid vigor over there.
No hybrid vigor, but no philosophical sense of liberty and, mm-hmm. and natural law where people have individual rights which cannot be trampled upon by the government.
We had another thing though too, Bert. We were disconnected from our king. We were across the pond from that guy.
Yeah.
And the French had, I mean, to cut them just a little bit of slack, they had their folks right there in their backyard, didn't they?
They did, but he tried to get away. They could have executed him or didn't have to execute him. But they did, and of course Robespierre, who helped get the revolution going, he was ultimately executed.
Yeah.
And it's really Yeah, the founders were right. Human nature has fallen, and once you start giving large amounts of power, then there's going to be corruption. Lord Acton was right. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. Bert Folsom, thank you for being here today. Good job. It's always a pleasure. I wouldn't want to do a day like today without you, and we wish you the best of luck in your new endeavors.
Thank you for inviting me, Jim, and look forward to working with you in the future.
We're going to do that, I promise you. Thanks, Bert.
Thanks.
Bert Folsom, ladies and gentlemen, a great American, I promise you. I want to thank you for your time, for allowing me to spend some time with you on this holiday, and I appreciate small business owners, I appreciate all that you do. Because what you do is important, not only for America, but for the world, and I don't ever want you to forget that. And I want you to always remember this, too. You're my hero. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you know that this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.